And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For that is why I have come out. So, we're still in the midst of the season where we're called to focus on the ways that God revealed this Jesus from Nazareth to be the promised Messiah. And if you think back over the past few weeks so far, you know that we've seen that star that guided the Magi to the place in Bethlehem where Jesus was, showing him to be a king. And that was the day of Epiphany. And then after that, we heard of Jesus' baptism when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And you might remember when Jesus met Nathanael, we had Jesus revealed to us as the one who sees us, the one who knows us, the one who is the ladder between heaven and earth for us. And then last week, we heard Jesus speaking with God's voice as he taught in that synagogue with authority and commanded a demon to depart from a man it had possessed. Which means that at this point, you might be wondering whether there's anything all that much left to reveal. Well, of course there is. This week, in the gospel that you just heard, Jesus is revealed as the one who brings God's kingdom and rule to earth. And then you might be inclined to say, yeah, well, we kind of got that already, right? Jesus has proclaimed that the kingdom is at hand. He has called his disciples to follow him. He's spoken God's word, cast out demons. That's all kingdom stuff. We've seen that God's reign is powerfully present in Jesus, but it turns out there is more to see. With Jesus, there is always more. And that's the focus of this passage from Mark. He cast out one demon, but there are more to be sent away. He proclaimed the kingdom in one place, but there are more places to visit with grace. And while he healed Peter's mother-in-law there, there were more people to be healed besides her. And Jesus, the kingdom doesn't do just enough, it always does more, so that his work is seen and felt left and right. We can start then with Peter's mother-in-law. Mark tells us that we're still on that Sabbath day when Jesus had taught with authority at the synagogue. The service ended, the people returned to their homes to wait for the Sabbath day to be over. And when Jesus and the disciples came to Peter's house, they found his mother-in-law sick with a fever. We don't know how high the fever was or what caused it, but it was enough to leave her bedfast. And I think most of you know about being sick like that, right? You know, you feel as weak as the proverbial kitten. All you want to do is just sleep. Saps all your strength. It takes every effort in your body just to get to the bathroom. And while we may not know the cause of her fever, nor what was going on, we do know that all disease is a result of the fall. Whether a person becomes ill because of a genetic inheritance or weakness or gets a bacteriological infection or is fighting some sort of virus, whatever, we know that disease was not part of God's intent for his good creation. Disease reminds us that because of sin, we live in a broken cosmos, and we've inherited a life that is twisted by the effects of sin. Microbes that once served the ongoing life of the cosmos by breaking down plants in order to enrich the soil, bacteria that once helped with things like digestion, these have become hostile to us, and our bodies, once made strong and resilient, have become weak so that they cannot always fight off attacks that rob us of health. So we get sick, and when we get seriously ill, we feel the chill hand of death. Pains, aches, weakness, misery, fever, digestive distress, being stuck in bed, all that reminds us of how fragile we really are. And it prevents us from following our callings and serving others. And of course, death is the final end of all of that. But Jesus has come to restore a broken creation and to take away the effects of sin by taking sin and death into himself. And where his kingdom and reign are, there the power of sin and corruption is undone. So whether he instantly gave strength and health to Peter's mother-in-law in her body or rebuked whatever disease was afflicting her, when Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up, she was healed and set free. And in her freedom, what did she do? She returned to her vocation, began to serve. Now, I should add here that sometimes folks worry whether or not this is just a little callous and sexist, right? I mean, that poor woman just recovered from her illness, and what do the men do? They make her go back to work. But I think that's quite wrong. Back in the pre-COVID days, I know that more than a few of you like to have friends and family over for a meal, for fellowship. Showing hospitality may be work, but it's also a joy. Serving one another is what we are made for. So far from being forced back into work when she was healed, Peter's mother-in-law likely rejoiced to be able to show hospitality to Jesus and the disciples. After all, can you think of anything better than having Jesus over? Disease robs us of the ability to serve, and when Jesus brought healing, joyful service was resumed. And when the Sabbath ended with the sun going down, we went from one healing to many healings of all sorts of diseases. You can almost imagine how the day had gone. Jesus had taught at the synagogue. He rebuked the demon. Everyone went home amazed. And because they were bound by the rabbi's interpretation of the law, no one could do anything the rest of that day but wait. But as they waited, they thought about their sick. Could Jesus' word bring healing? They thought about those among them who were possessed. Could Jesus free them also? As the hours drag on, I suspect more and more eyes looked toward the west, waiting for that last sliver of sun to sink below the horizon. And then they all made a beeline to the house where Jesus was staying. One healing went to many healings. One demon cast out at the synagogue went to many demons being sent away that night. The kingdom doesn't work by half measure. And as the demons cried out in terrified recognition of the Holy One come to destroy their work, Jesus silenced them. He would not have his identity revealed by demonic testimony. No, his will is always that faith comes by hearing, by seeing, by knowing the power of his work, his grace, his love. Jesus wanted people to know him, yes, but to know him because they recognized him as the promised one, come to redeem them with his death and resurrection. Now, we don't know how long into the night the healings and exorcisms continued, but finally there came that hour when it was all done. Folks went home, went to sleep, and Jesus rose early the next morning. Why? Because just as there had been more healings and more exorcisms, there was also to be more proclamation. Jesus was come to herald and to establish the kingdom of God in Galilee, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. He had made the kingdom present there in Capernaum, and it would now do its work. So it was time to bring the kingdom to more towns, to more villages, more people. For it turns out that the reign and the power of God is not finally in Jesus' mighty works of wonder, his healings, his miracles, and so on. It's in his word. It is the word of God that creates, that gives life, that brings light to the darkness. The word proclaimed and declared and going forth, that upholds all things. That releases the prisoners who are bound by sin and guilt. The word turns us to God and gives us his spirit. And then the effects of the word follow its proclamation. Healings happen, demons are put to flight, but the word is first. It and its proclamation are the foundation. Now, this is the point. Well, some will say, well, okay, if Jesus has come powerfully with his word to establish his kingdom, why hasn't that proclamation been believed by all? And especially in this COVID era, why aren't all made well and diseases banished? And why aren't all the demons rendered inert? Now, I should say that's no simple question, and yet the answer is simple, even if it's complex. The reason that all is not finished, that all are not converted, that all are not made well, that all of hell has not been vanquished once and for all, is this. There's still more people to be born, still more people to be saved before Jesus brings this phase of things to an end. Here's the deal. Until the last person is conceived, all men and women will continue to inherit the corruption of Adam and Eve brought upon our race. Therefore, all of those yet to be born still need to be redeemed. God does not desire the death of sinners, but that they turn and that they live. And yet, how do sinners get turned? Well, they get turned by being crushed in a broken world and finding the emptiness and corruption of their own hearts. Only when they know and feel that does the gospel become good news. Only when they find themselves in the shadow of death and judgment do they seek after wholeness and go where it can be found, which means that disease and the devil's work actually serve God's purpose, much to the devil's chagrin. All is not yet perfected because the brokenness of this world still educates the lost and prods them to seek after God. So restoration is not yet complete, but the day is coming. And in the meantime, the word is still heralded and proclaimed. It goes forth from Christ's body here, the church, to establish the kingdom and reign of God in this tired world. It still works to turn hearts that are estranged from God. It still assures men and women of God's mercy and grace. It still gives light and life to the faithful. It constantly gives us new life, life that is lived in Christ, with his love and his grace guiding our words and our deeds. For Jesus brings us God's kingdom and rule. So let us rejoice and receive it. Let us hear Jesus and then live as those who walk in his light. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.